Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's call. We are going to be talking all about hunger and binging today. So quick introduction for those of you who don't know me. I am Jane Pilger. I have a few identities around here at No BS. One of my, you may know me as Corinne's bestie. So if you ever hear Corinne talking about Marco Poloing or talking to Jane, that is me. I also am the author of the Trusting Your Body course in the self-study programs within No BS. That is an amazing course for you if you have been through the No BS weight loss course and you are looking for other things. The Trusting Your Body course I created specifically so that you can take some of the concepts where we really look at our thoughts, what we're thinking about food, what we're thinking about things, and how we integrate our body, bring our bodies into the equation. I also am a former binger. I love to talk all things binging, and I have my own private coaching practice where I coach people specifically on the topic of binge eating. I am also available in the binge support subgroup for you at No BS. So if you are not in the binge support Facebook group, you can definitely join us there. Coach Betsy is with us here. If you are listening live, she will drop that link in the chat. And if you are listening on replay, the link to join that subgroup will also be in the show notes. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today, we are talking this month all about doable hunger. And I wanted to talk specifically about hunger as it relates to binging. So if you have any questions at all, put them into the Q&A if you are here live. If you want to be coached on anything, as long as it's related to binging, raise your hand. We will absolutely be doing some live coaching. I'm just going to talk a little bit at the beginning about hunger and binging and how they do or don't relate. So one of the things that we talk about hunger, right? And the question, here's this question, the question that I'm going to be answering this evening is, if I get too hungry, will I binge? Does getting too hungry make me binge? Now, the answer for every individual person is going to be, it depends. So, and I know that's a lovely answer, right? But it really does depend. There's going to be two factors at play. One is going to be, what are you thinking about the hunger? What are your thoughts about hunger? If you do get to where you're really hungry and you're not only are you feeling the physical sensations of hunger, but then you're also really nervous about it. You don't know where you're going to eat. You don't know what you're going to eat. You can't wait to eat. The food becomes very much fixated. It can be much harder to eat in either a slow amount, to kind of wait until you can kind of like check in with yourself if you do get to that place where you are too hungry. But we have to be very careful that we don't want to say that like getting too hungry automatically means I will binge, because that means like you can never get too hungry ever in your life. Well, that's a challenge, because we all have had situations where something happens and we just aren't able to eat when we thought we would be able to eat. Whether it is you get stuck on an airplane for 4 hours, whether there's an accident on the freeway and you're stuck on the freeway for 3 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours, or you end up somewhere else, right? There are absolutely circumstances in our lives, and there will continue to be some where you need to go an extended period of time without eating. So it's important to know you can do that if you need to. But there also absolutely can be, particularly for somebody who has a history of binging or who is actively in the binging pattern, there can be a correlation between getting too hungry and binging. So here's what I want to be very clear. There is correlation and there is causation. So getting too hungry does not cause binge eating. But there can be a correlation where if you do get too hungry, you may be more likely to binge. There can be a couple of reasons why. Here are the two primary reasons why. Number one is going to be what I already talked about, which is what you're thinking about your hunger. What are you thinking about? So think about this. Everybody who's listening to this right now, think about the last time you got really hungry, like more hungry than doable hunger, like hungry. So think about the last time you got hungry, that hungry. What were you thinking? So think about this. What were you thinking? This actually happened to me today. I went from just a little bit hungry to then I went out, I ran a couple of errands, I went to pick up some lunch. By the time I got home with my lunch, I was like painfully hungry. My hunger usually is pretty gradual, but today it was fast and I was very hungry. So I was paying attention to like, what am I thinking about? So what were you thinking the last time you got particularly hungry? It's very important to know that. If you are thinking things like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to eat. Oh my gosh, I need to eat so much. If you are eating super fast, all of those things are going to take into account. Now, the next part is going to be your body's kind of response. And sometimes this can be a subconscious response. If you have a long history of restricting and binging, that kind of diet binge cycle, your body may not know whether this is like, is she really going to feed me or not? So what can happen is when you have been on this cycle of restricting, dieting over time, and you go for an extended period of time without food, your body can get the signal of, oh, here she goes again. She's going to go on another diet. And when that happens, then the body can send out signals to eat more food. It's like, oh, famine is coming. But here's what happens. It's like the subconscious message. None of this happens consciously. It's the subconscious message. Famine is coming. Therefore, we need to get as much food as possible. I don't know if she's going to be starving me again. Therefore, we need to get as much as we can right now because we don't know when the next famine is going to come. So this can happen particularly if you have this history of kind of dieting, restricting, and then binging. When I talk about body trust, you develop the trust that your body can communicate with you, tell you when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat. But your body also has to trust you too. Your body has to trust that it is going to get food when it needs it. If you have been on a lot of restrictive diets in the past, if you have ignored your hunger signals in the past, your body doesn't necessarily trust that food is coming on a regular basis. So it can feel much more urgent and emergent, particularly if you're new into this no BS process, if you're new into really paying attention and listening to and honoring what your body is telling you. So if you have that history, this is what I know happens to me. It doesn't happen as much as it used to, but I know for me, there is absolutely a correlation between me getting too hungry and binging. And it's because my body is like, oh, wait, is she doing that famine thing again? Is she going to starve me again? She might. So we have to get as much food as possible. So that doesn't mean that it's possible. It doesn't mean it has to happen, but it takes a lot more mental energy to sit down, to really then be intentional. Sit down, remind yourself to take your time, to really calm the nervous system down. Sometimes the body can go into almost like a survival response. If it thinks starvation is coming, it truly can go into a starvation response, like a survival response. All it's focused on is surviving, which is why then sometimes you can kind of, it almost feels like you didn't even have access to that logical part of your brain. So it can be really helpful when you do get beyond that doable hunger, when you do get too kind of quote unquote too hungry. more hungry than you would care or generally plan for, here are your kind of tips for you. Number one, when you do eat, make sure that you get yourself into a nice, calm, relaxed place. In the Trusting Your Body program, I talk about the trust process for eating. You can go into the program and find it there, but basically it involves having an intention for your meal, taking a nice deep breath, getting yourself into that more calm, relaxed place. If you know that you're hungry, you want to take your time, you might decide to kind of like stop and check in, give yourself a little bit of extra time. I encourage you to have a situation where you're actually eating, where you're not entirely distracted, so that you can pay attention to your experience. These things will help keep your logical brain on board. I know for me, there is a correlation. If I get too hungry, also for me, if I skip meals, there are some times I skip meals, but not very often. So I personally, if I know that if I go back, I look at my history and I skip a meal for a particular reason, I am more likely to overeat the next day. And again, I believe it's my body, the subconscious kind of messaging, like, oh, here she goes again. She's doing these shenanigans again. So my goal is to give my body the signal food is always coming. There is always going to be another meal. There is always going to be something else. I am not going back to the restrictive diety shenanigans. I'm not doing that. I want my body to trust me as much as I trust my body. So those are really kind of my thoughts on hunger and specifically as it relates to binging. If anybody has any specific questions regarding that, definitely go ahead and put them into the Q&A. And with that, we are going to go ahead and we can do some live coaching. So if anybody wants coaching specifically on the topic of binging, raise your hand and we will make that happen. All right. We've got Tracy. We're bringing you on. Here comes Tracy. All right. Here she comes.
Hi.
Hi.
I literally just like ran in from school and said, I'm joining this call. I don't care what else I have to do today.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad you're here.
So my question is something I've been grappling with for a few months or maybe even for a year is prior to joining No BS, I was having some success with intermittent fasting. And okay. I've been on a lot of different diets in my lifetime, but they haven't been as extreme as some of the others that I hear about, more like Weight Watchers or, you know, exercising, counting calories, not too extreme. Mm-hmm. So the reason I joined No BS because I was having success with intermittent fasting, but I still wasn't learning to like manage my emotions, manage how much I was eating when I did eat.
Yeah.
So now I think my brain is so messed up that I'm really having trouble trusting my body. So I probably need to go through that course, but I'm really having a hard time figuring out like, am I really hungry? Like, am I really hungry? Should I eat? Should I not eat? You know, I feel a lot better when I don't eat a lot, but I do get hungry. And what I'm finding is I am binging at night or on the weekends because I'm like, oh, now I can eat all weekend. You know, I fasted all during the week and was so busy that I just got right past it and only ate one time. And that was at dinner, but I ate too much. And now over the weekend, now I find myself on a binge.
So tell me this, when you said you have had some success with intermittent fasting, tell me what type of success have you had?
I felt like I didn't think about food as much as I did when I was trying to like count calories. I lost 30 pounds. My blood sugar levels were coming down. I was feeling better. I had some other things that I felt like I was benefiting from intermittent fasting.
And so it sounds like, and so what were the, and then what were the not successful parts of it?
Not managing my emotions around food, not managing that emotional eating, although it was better. I will say it was a little better, but not managing how much I ate. And I wasn't learning to like stop at enough.
Yeah. So how long have you been a member of Nubias?
Since July of, so it was a year in July.
Okay. And have you been through some of the courses around like determining your hunger? Have you, you said you have a hard time kind of really feeling your hunger signals. Have you, what have you done?
I've gone through the basic course twice. Okay. So I've done that. I am an avid listener of all the podcasts. I mean, in my head, I know like these are the things I need to work on, but I get so, I let my emotion, and I'm not, it's so weird because I'm not an extremely emotional person, but I do really cave into stress eating and emotional eating. I guess I should cry instead of eat. I say that in jest, but my husband and I have been going through some really difficult times with our 21-year-old. And it's just, I feel like I'm at an all-time high level of stress. And so I think we both are like, okay, well, let's eat a cheeseburger.
So why don't you cry instead of eat?
Crying would be a new thing for me. I have cried a lot more in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Than I have in my entire life, but it's a relatively, I'm being honest, it's a relatively new thing to me. And one of the things that I figured out through this journey with my son coming out as trans is that I developed some coping mechanisms as a child because my mom was very emotional to everything. And I did not want to be like that as an adult. And so,
so then you went the opposite way, right? Like no emotions, shut her down.
Absolutely. And when I do cry, my husband of 34 years is like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with you. This is not like you. Now he cries. He's very emotional and will cry, but it's very unlike me.
Yeah. So it makes sense. So when you were very young, you basically decided, I do not want to be like my mom. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, I'm going to shut it down. I'm just going to shut down all of my emotions. But here's the problem. You're a human being. Mm-hmm. And as human beings, we are created to have emotions. And so what happens is you figure out very rightly, like very wisely, okay, I can't have emotions, but because these emotions are a natural part of the human existence, I've got to figure out some way to stuff them down because it's not okay for me. I don't want to be like my mom. It's not okay for me to feel these emotions. So you kind of wisely figured out, oh, food will do it. Food shoves, stuffs them down, but it doesn't make them go away because they're still there. So you have all of these emotions as a human being, we all do. And it can be so insightful to know why we feel like maybe we do, like it's not okay to feel those emotions. So for you, what I would recommend is really looking at what could be amazing. And let's answer this question. What could be amazing about you learning the skill? It's a skill which you haven't learned yet, but what could be amazing about you learning the skill of feeling and processing your emotions?
I think I could probably deal with those emotions on a healthier level. And I also think it could show people around me that I'm not dealing well with things and I need a little bit more support. And I think I would, one of the things that my child has said to me is that I felt like, and we have a great relationship, but I felt like when I was a child, you weren't emotionally available for me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes me feel really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes sense. You were trying to protect yourself. You were trying to protect yourself from what you, the experience you had with your mother. And so you did it from such an understandable place. But yes, there are consequences to the shutting off of the emotions. Consequences of being emotionally available. You haven't been emotionally available to your son. You haven't been emotionally available to yourself. What a beautiful gift if you would be willing to explore, to expand. I call it emotional capacity, which is your ability to be with any emotion. And you're doing it right now. Look, you're being with some emotion. Yeah. So give yourself some compassion, like even celebrate yourself for feeling this emotion. One of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is to do you journal. Are you a journaler?
I've started. It's been okay. Very cathartic for me.
Yes. Okay. So here is one thing that will be very cathartic for you is you are going to want to communicate with the younger part of you. So you had a younger part of you who said, no emotions. They're bad. We don't want to be like mom. And she basically said, this is our agreement. We are not doing emotions anymore. And you just haven't done emotions. Now you're seeing, oh, you know what? Maybe this whole no emotion thing is actually not helping. Maybe it's actually hurting me. I made that agreement way back when, and I thought it was helpful, but now I can see, I think I'm ready to let that no emotion agreement that I made with myself to let that go. But what you are going to want to do is just journal to that version of you who decided, yep, no emotions. Journal to her and ask her for permission to tear up that agreement. So we want to get her on board because she doesn't think emotions are safe. So we need to bring her on board with, yeah, okay. So you can help her, that be with her through the process. Show her and tell her why it will be so good and so important for you to go through this process of learning your emotions, expanding your emotional capacity, and that you'll be with her, and how, if that goal was to not be like your mom, how you are going to do it in a way that is going to make you an even better mom to your child. And then when you do that, then you can dive in to the Trusting Your Body program. It's a great course, if I do say so myself. But there are a lot of resources in there, resources for you on your emotions, how to identify them, how to be with them. There are some meditations, how to really check in with your body, like all of that. There's so much amazing content there for you in Trusting Your Body. But it's not about the calories. It's not about the intermittent fasting. It's not about like when we eat, all of that. It's that connection with yourself.
And I have it printed off and ready to like go through. Yeah. It's been sitting in a corner for a while.
Yeah. And it makes sense that you haven't been ready yet because we have this younger part of you that was like, oh, nope, no emotions. That's not okay. So that's where I really want to encourage you to start. Because if you don't bring her on board and get her buy-in, she's going to be thinking, no, that's not safe. So we need to let her know it's going to be okay. It's going to be safe. You're going to do this in a very loving, supportive way. And then you're going to grow your skill of expanding your emotional capacity.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your bravery of being on the call. And yes, you've got a great path ahead of you. I know you will be able to just expand it with emotional capacity. It's a skill. It's just like a muscle. You start by just a little bit. You are doing it right now. You're feeling this emotion right now, just a little bit at a time. And then it's not black and white, right? Like you just expand.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. She's going back to attendee. Let's see. We've got some questions in the Q&A. I'm going to look at, and we're also going to, we are going to pull Bess up. I'm going to pull you up to panelists while I answer a question. Okay. So somebody asks, what if I have no hunger until lunch? Would that be skipping a meal and having to possibly worry for the next day to overeat? This is where it is so important for you to know yourself individually. There are a lot of no BS women who do not eat breakfast with no problem. They don't get hungry. They just eat their first meal at breakfast, and it is not a problem at all. I know for me personally, I don't do well when I skip meals. But I also get hungry. It's not like, I'm hungry in the morning. I'm hungry. I get hungry. So you do want to, absolutely, you want to honor your hunger. But if you are somebody who does either binges, has a history of binging, has a pattern of binging, is currently in a binge cycle, what I want you to do is just look, is there a correlation? Is there a correlation between, if you're somebody who sometimes skips meals and sometimes doesn't, is there a correlation between skipping meals and overeating or binging? Are you, if you're somebody who doesn't eat breakfast, are you not eating breakfast because you just simply don't get hungry, or because you read on the internet it's better to have X number of hours before you eat, or you're trying to eat less overall during the day? Are you making these decisions based on what your body is telling you, or are you making these decisions trying to manipulate the system, trying to manipulate the number on the scale? That's really the question. Are you listening to your body and honoring what it's telling you, or are you trying to kind of manipulate things? All right. Bess, come on down.
Hi. And thank you for attempting to answer my question. I hope that it will be clear.
Okay.
I'm very new. I joined January 3rd, but that doesn't mean I'm new to dieting and body issues and emotional eating.
Well, you're in the right place.
And I've been feast or famine since I was about 14.
Okay.
I actually was anorexic for a period of time, lost my period, and then went overboard with binging. Mm-hmm. And the rationale was that my body was working, so I would rather binge than starve. Clearly, mm-hmm. I have emotional issues around food, and this course is really opening that door for me. Mm-hmm. My question is kind of specific, though, okay. In that I am trying to diffuse the emotional value of food. So when I do my plan, by the way, chocolate and anything sweet was what I binged on, always.
Okay.
I've steered clear of including chocolate, which I still love, into my daily plan for fear of creating a binge, not trusting that I'll stop at enough or one piece or whatever I've written down, and that it will just go to pot and I'll be back, you know, where I was before. That for me is kind of like the diet mentality that I'm trying to avoid.
Yes.
So help, what do I do?
Yes. So number one, it is very common for somebody to go from anorexia to binge eating, or for the, you know, to have that kind of go from anorexia to binge eating. It's very common. So just know you are not alone. There are so many women. I have definitely been on both ends of the spectrum as well. So that is very normal. It is also normal to have fear of certain foods and have fear, okay, if I eat this food, I'm afraid it will create a binge. So the way that we do that is you want to plan that food every day. So part of the reason that we get into the binging is like, okay, well, I have to eat all of this because I don't know when I'm going to get it again. There's kind of like this restriction, scarcity mindset around it. If you plan for that food every single day, now it doesn't mean you have to eat it every day, but you can plan for it every day so that you can decide, all right, do I want it today? Do I not want it today? I get to have it tomorrow. So there's not the, when you're planning it on a daily basis, there isn't this, I need to eat all of it because you're going to get it again tomorrow. And then you're going to get it again the next day. And as you eat it, you can decide what do I really love about this chocolate? Do I even enjoy this chocolate? Do I love this chocolate? Do I like this chocolate more than this chocolate? You can really get very curious about what it is that you like about it. And if that's something that you want to, if you want to eat on a regular basis, it diffuses the fear and the scarcity around it because you're bringing it in on a daily basis.
Can I ask a follow-up to that?
Of course.
Because the issue for me is, so say I buy a bar of chocolate and I'm going to plan for 2 squares per day. That bar of chocolate will call my name, or has in the past called my name, until I've told it to shut up and eaten the whole thing.
Well, first of all, we have to stop and say chocolate bars actually don't have mouths. So they cannot actually call your name.
Right.
So that's number one. We've got to make sure that your brain is the one in control. The chocolate's not in control. When we give the chocolate all the power to say, it's calling my name, it's doing this, it's sitting in the, you know, it's like, it has so much power over me, I have to eat it to make it stop. We're putting the chocolate in the driver's seat. So what we do is we say, oh, actually, you know what? I'm the one in charge here. And this is how we're going to do it, by bringing it in a little bit at a time. Now, is it possible you have 2 squares and your brain is like, we want more, we want more? Yes, absolutely. And you say, guess what? We're having more tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. It's coming tomorrow. And then you see what else comes up. But that's kind of the process of bringing it in and knowing that you get to have it again the next day, the next day, the next day. That helps to bring down the temperature of thinking that you have to eat it all at once. There are also tons of resources within, I know you're brand new, so there's a lot more about this within several of the other courses as well. Particularly the urges would be a great place for you to dive into next if you've gone through the no BS course.
I have. And yeah. So then you wouldn't recommend cutting it out of my diet completely because...
No, not at all. No, because you're giving it the power. I'm not planning it because I'll binge if I do. It calls my name if I do. I'll eat too much of it. No, we are the ones in the driver's seat. We're the ones who are deciding when we eat, how much we eat, how often we eat. And for those foods that feel like we can't control them, it's super helpful to plan them on a very regular basis because it takes the excitement factor out of it. It's like, oh, it's just chocolate. That's all it is. It's just chocolate. You can have it any day. There's also in the Trusting Your Body course, there is in module 2, the toolbox, there is a whole lesson on a planned binge, which is something for anybody who is listening here. If you want to actually plan a binge where you decide, all right, you know what? I'm going to eat all the things I used to eat in a binge, but I'm going to do it with the lights on. So my terminology is, when I used to binge, I would use it to turn the lights off on myself.
Yes.
So a planned binge you can do by planning it out. Here's what I'm going to eat. Here's when I'm going to eat it, all the things, but I'm going to do it consciously. And I'm going to sit down with this worksheet and I'm going to actually experience a binge with the lights on and just see what comes up for me physically, emotionally, all of the things. It really can be very transformational. That's another It's another way to kind of take some of the power back when from those like highly charged foods.
Is that the same as a fuck it?
So it's different. There is the fuck it foods worksheet you can absolutely do with your chocolate would be a great idea to bring some consciousness to it for sure. And then there is a planned binge, which is like, you know, kind of a, it's just another tool that you can use.
Thank you so much for your wisdom.
You're welcome. Yes, of course. All right. Put you back to attendee. All right. We have another question here. All right. And we're going to bring on, while I look at this, we're going to bring on Mia, I believe is your name. Okay. Margaret asks, how do you suggest we get in touch or able to recognize and feel our emotions? So, there, I would say in the Trusting Your Body course, there is a whole, lesson all about emotions. And I believe there's also even a couple of other courses. Hopefully Betsy can put them into the chat and in the notes about resources for connecting with your emotions. But I know for sure in Trusting Your Body, there's a whole module on it. And so you can go there and like, as far as like getting, recognizing, naming them, expanding your ability to go through the now process, which is the ability to like sitting with emotions. There's some great resources within No BS. All right. Mia, am I saying your name right?
It's Maya.
Maya. Okay, great.
It's very nice to meet you and thank
nice
you
to
very
meet you
much.
Too. Of course.
I'm super excited to be here. And meet other people who have the same kind of a struggle. So kind of similar to the last two callers, my binge eating behaviors began when I can remember back as far back as when I was 10, mm-hmm. Like binging, hiding food. I mean, just cycle of drama, right? That I'm working really hard to get out of. I have been an official member of No BS since January, awesome. But one of my very best friends recommended the podcast to me in January 2020. So up until then, I listened to the podcast. And the first year, I lost 70 pounds. So I was very happy. Then in the last 2 years, I've gained back between 35 and 40. So this year, I said, I'm going to give myself the gift of the full membership and try it out. So I'm here. Awesome. So I've discovered that when I binge eat, it's either because I'm like very overwhelmed with usually a negative emotion, like I'm anxious, I'm stressed, or I'm worried about something and I've like avoided dealing with it for a couple of days and it all shows up in my mouth. Or I think this is a binge, but mentally it feels very different. Like if I wait too long to eat, then I'll get like ravenous. Yep. And I've gotten really good at identifying stopping at satisfied. Like that's not my drama. My drama is waiting for hunger, right? But typically I'm good at being like, I'm satisfied. But if I wait too long to eat, it literally feels like that my stomach is an empty pit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even understand this because I know how much food I typically eat. But now it's almost like, and I'm not like having any emotional drama. I just feel so hungry. Mm-hmm. But what I've also uncovered is that there are times where I am hungry and I like won't let myself eat because I almost like have a fear that I won't be able to eat later. And I did not grow up with like food insecurity. I mean, like, so I don't know where it's coming from. It's like, if I
help me understand that
I can't eat later. I can't eat later.
Because you won't be hungry or...
Give me
a very specific example. Like when you were hungry and you were like, nope, I can't eat.
Okay.
Like I'm not going to let myself eat. Give me a specific example.
So like at evening time, right? So like, it'll be like now 6 or 7 o'clock and like, I want dinner, but then I'll think if I eat dinner now, then I'll be hungry at 8 or 9 o'clock and I will have already eaten dinner. I will have already like worked my plan. I don't want to eat after dinner. So as opposed to eating dinner like now, I'll like wait until later so I don't go to bed hungry.
Okay. And then if you push that meal, then do you risk getting to that place where you're like, so like
ravenous?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, it kind of depends. Not always. Not sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay. Okay. And so tell me this, what is wrong with if you got hungry after dinner, having a snack after dinner?
Because I don't plan for snacks after dinner. Mm-hmm. So I work really hard at like sticking to my plan, right? Like being 100% on my plan.
Okay.
And I grade myself on my ability to stick to like not waver from my plan.
So what I'm hearing is that you are very good at honoring your plan and what's on the paper, but you're not necessarily as good at honoring what your body is telling you.
Not if they conflict.
Okay. So tell me this, why is it that you give preference to what your plan says over what your body says?
Because when I listened to the podcast, one of the things I took away from Corinne was that I really am my best self at like 6-7 in the morning. She makes great decisions. She is so smart. She really is. Like she could rule the world. But like 7 o'clock me, she struggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
And so I'm like, well, smart me decided this is what you should eat today. And it's not like I follow it 100% of the time, 100% of the days. Like that's just not true. But I do work really hard to follow it. And so I figure like, if I'm hungry now, I can't be hungry because I've already eaten or I didn't plan it. I want to be the kind of woman that honors her word to herself. Right. So I also heard that a couple of times in the podcast, like your word, like your plan is your word to yourself. And I'm like, well, I should follow this so I could work on being the kind of woman who honors her word. So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does answer my question, but here's the thing that I think is beautiful to just explore, and only you or whoever is listening to this can know the answer. Here's the question is, I absolutely agree. We make our plans with our most logical thinking, with our best interest in mind, for sure. And sometimes things change. Sometimes our body is like, hey, you know what? I actually just needed more food today. Hey, this changed or whatever. Now, here's what I think is kind of a bit of an advanced level skill, but based on everything you've told me, I think you are prepared for this advanced level skill. And it's knowing when I want to change something from my plan. If I'm looking to deviate from my plan.
You can do that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you can do that. Am I doing it from a place that is honoring my body and honoring myself, my best self? Or am I doing it from a place that's from the primitive part of my brain that is wants to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and use as little energy as possible? Now, at 7 p.m., sometimes, yes, the answer is, I just want to seek pleasure. I want to avoid pain. I'm like out, like checking out. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm legit hungry. I'm going to have dinner. And if I get legit hungry after dinner, maybe I'll plan myself an optional snack and I can decide if I want to eat after dinner or not. Mm-hmm. So the question for you, especially you specifically, this is where we kind of have to like look at things specifically. But if you are at risk of getting too hungry, where you get ravenous, where you end up eating more than you're looking to eat, if you are in a bit of a binge pattern, I would much rather see anybody who is in a binge pattern or in a binge cycle, I would much rather see anybody eat on a consistent basis rather than the up and down, the feast or famine, the eating a lot and then not so much, and then a lot and then not so much. If we can show our bodies we're going to eat more consistently over time, then we can start to balance out that yo-yo, the up and the down, the up and the down. Mm-hmm. But if you are uber committed to this plan and you have to stick to this plan no matter what, the thing to me is that that is not giving you permission to actually check in with your body. I want to be somebody who honors my word also, but I personally want to be somebody who honors my body first and foremost. And I think you have some amazing connections and skills. You know your hunger signals. You know your enough signals. We've got these two other things that we were talking about, right? Where it's like, okay, I see that I eat sometimes when it's been days and my emotions are kind of like piling up. So there, I would recommend that you just start noticing, see if you can look back and be like, huh, when did I start becoming aware that I was getting overwhelmed, that I was feeling those emotions?
I've gotten pretty good at that. So now I know enough to know if I feel off kilter in the morning, I'm like, oh, this is going to end up in your mouth in about 24 to 48 hours. So I've gotten really good at doing that, and it's been really helpful. Sometimes every time is different, but that has been really helpful. So I've gotten better at identifying like emotional triggers and being vulnerable and brave enough to address them up front, which really sucks having to deal with yourself. Okay. But this is helpful, because I just kept wondering, why am I so hungry?
So here's what I see. I see that you are putting more emphasis on following your plan than following what your body's telling you. And if your body is telling you various things, you may just need to adjust the way you're planning.
Okay.
It's amazing to be able to get to the point where your body and your plan kind of match up, but it's not always going to happen, because the body, you guys, I will tell you, the body does not necessarily need or want the exact same amount of food every day. So if we just plan, here's what I eat. I eat exactly this amount of food at this time, and I eat exactly this amount of food for this meal, and exactly this amount of food. This is just what I do, but you're not checking in with your enough, with your hunger signals, with when it's, and you're not responding, then you're making all the decisions from your brain. And what we want to do is combine both our thinking with our brain, making our decisions from the most logical part, our best self, when we know all of that is on, like burning and, you know, going, like we want to make those decisions then. And we also want to be able to check in with our body and let our bodies inform us with these decisions as well. It's the brain and the body have to work together. We don't keep them separate. When they're not working together is when we end up more in the pattern of binging, of overeating, of having these cycles. It's like we're trying to just like push it through with our brain. That's what I see with you, is like you're just trying to force, this is what I plan, this is what I'm doing. It's like, oh, but let's bring the body into the equation. You've got some great skills. You're already aware of your emotions. You're aware of your hunger signals. So can we now, for you, bring in, how can I bring in what I already know about my body, what I know about my best self, what I know about planning, and have them all marry together so that I'm eating on a more kind of consistent basis?
This is helpful. That last piece just made me realize I don't trust myself. Mm. Like as you were talking, I thought, oh, I don't do that because I don't trust that. Like my plan is a map. Like it tells me exactly what to do. Mm. But I think I feel fear that if left to my own devices, I actually don't trust myself to make the best decisions. So that's something new that I need to figure out. So that's helpful.
Yes, this is your work for sure. And trust is something that's developed. You probably haven't been through trusting your body yet because you just joined in January. Trusting your body is a beautiful course, and it will teach you how to develop trust with yourself, how you can start making these decisions with both your brain and your body. Because if you don't trust yourself, you're always going to be looking for something outside of you to make those decisions for you. But you've got all the wisdom inside, all of it. Your body is so brilliant and so beautiful and will always tell you all the things. It's like, now we just have to like open up to the listening to it.
Thank you. I don't want to take up anyone else's time. This was very helpful. And thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, Maya. Thank you for coming on. All right. Change to attendee. Okay, who else? We've got Tammy. We're going to bring Tammy on while I promote Tammy to panelists. Let's see. Okay, question. What do you do to stop a binge that is preceded by hypoglycemia? So this is interesting. This is kind of actually similar to like a binge that, you know, does hypoglycemia make me binge? Does getting too hungry make me binge? I would say the answer is no. Even when you're hypoglycemic, when you're hypoglycemic and you go to eat, it's going to be very similar where you want to have your intention. You want to eat slowly. You want to give yourself some time. It's very, and also pay attention to what you're thinking about the hypoglycemia itself. If you're thinking it has to be responded to right away, this is an emergency. Oh my gosh, I have to eat all of the things. That is going to impact the way your body is going to process and deal with it. So you want to, as much as possible, your brain can go into a bit of a survival response with hypoglycemia. So you want to bring that logical brain on board as much as possible. Remind yourself, take your time, and, you know, be very intentional about eating. Remind yourself it will take a little bit of time for the food to process and for your blood sugar levels to get back. And you can just see if you can give yourself a little bit of space between eating, eating more to see how you feel there. All right, Tammy, come on up. I think she's coming on. Let's see. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
There we go.
There she's coming. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got it. There we go.
Hi. Hello.
All right. You actually, that was my question. I tend to have an ADHD brain and I forget to
eat. You forget to eat. Okay. Okay.
If I get too busy, I'll forget to eat.
Okay.
And when I do get to eat, I then, as you said, panic mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I start grabbing everything. That's how my binges begin. Mm-hmm. And I start grabbing anything within hand's distance, you know?
So tell me a couple of things. What is the panic mode? What are you thinking when it happens?
Well, what happens is I can actually feel my blood sugar dropping. Mm-hmm. I will start getting shaky. I will get confused. I will eat all those things.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem is I had a very large tumor that sat across my stomach for a number of years that they removed last year. And for many years, I always got full sensation, but never received hunger sensations.
Okay.
And when it was removed, I had a very difficult time having any sensation.
Okay.
And I don't trust myself at all.
Mm. Sure. Yeah. So you said once you got it removed, you had a hard time. Do you currently have any sensations or no?
It's very minimal. I have to sit down and almost be zen to feel enough.
Mm.
Okay. I never go to full.
Mm-hmm.
Only made that mistake once. And that was very early on after surgery. And I had massive pain underneath the incision. It's a complicated type of situation.
Yeah. So where I would start with you is basically what I call practical hunger. So for somebody who does not currently have very, very notable cues, particularly mm-hmm. hunger cues, and who also has hypoglycemia, what I recommend eating on a practical scale. So, all right, I'm going to make sure that I eat something every however many hours makes sense for you. You probably know how many mm-hmm. hours you yeah. make sense for you, right? So what would prevent you from setting a timer to just be like, time to eat?
Well, when it's a lot of the times it's when I'm having my adventures, mm-hmm. living my best life. I have a very rude dog. I'm sorry. He thinks he is the center of attention. Sorry. But with me,
you can't live your best life and set a timer?
Well, just for instance, we went camping.
Okay.
We went kayaking. We got caught on the river a lot longer than we anticipated.
Okay.
Yes, I did bring some things, but they were definitely not enough. Because I continued to feel, I'm like, this should be enough. This should be enough. This should be enough to get me back to the campsite. It's those type of situations when I'm out, I'm having fun, we're doing things that will run into a situation where I start having to grab everything. And that's when the tailspin starts, because once I got back to the campsite, anything and everything became a grab match.
So tell me what you were thinking when you got back to the campsite.
I've got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Before I drop,
mm-hmm.
I will feel like I'm going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like dropping.
Yeah. And so was there any point, did you feel like you had any connection with your logical brain in that moment? Or did it feel very just, you were just kind of in a response and you were just grabbing all the things?
At first grabbing all the things, and then just, basically trying to get to that point where I could take a deep breath.
And how do you know when you're at that point where you take a deep breath? If you are kind of grabbing things like kind of quickly and ravenously, then do you give yourself any time, any space to pause, to check in, to take a breath? It sounds like it's all happening very quickly.
It seems like it's happening very quickly, but I know that it's not, because I'll grab this one thing and then go off and try to basically cook the meal that I had prepared and planned. And I'm like, okay, we'll just get this in. And sometimes it's a matter of just trying to just calm down
mm-hmm.
enough.
Yeah.
Because that is where I'm finding it's trying not to eat so much before I can just get the mind about me to calm. Yeah.
Yes. What I'm hearing is you've got a little bit of two things going on. You have a little bit of, you do have the physical, the blood sugar reaction is happening. But I think there's probably a bigger component at play that is the nervous system and the mind and the kind of the body's reaction to what is happening. So you're in basically kind of like a fight or flight place in your body, because it feels like this is it. You go into kind of a survival response, which makes sense based on what's happening with your blood sugar. And so there really is a kind of both the physical component as well as then, like you said, the mind, what's happening with the body and the nervous system. So there are some amazing tools in the Trusting Your Body program that you can listen to. There's a recording that you can listen to where you could do the Now Plus Nurture recording because with hypoglycemia, once you have taken in enough food to kind of like balance your blood sugar, it does not require a binge to get you back into balanced blood sugar, right? It's like there's really a small amount that is required to get your blood sugar back to the place where physically you are going to be okay. Then we have to work on the nervous system, the emotional, like the mental part of being okay.
The adrenaline rush.
Yes. So if you could listen to the Now Plus Nurture meditation, kind of like, okay, here's what I would recommend is that you have a protocol. Here's number one, here's what I do to make sure these things don't happen. I make sure I don't go more than X number of hours without eating. That is just practical hunger. Anybody who suffers from hypoglycemia or has major reactions when you go too long without eating, just don't go that long in general, but then have a protocol. If it does happen, here's what I do. Number one, I figure out what is kind of my minimum effective dose. What is this small amount that I know physically? It may not feel like enough in my mind. I may still feel like, oh my gosh, I still need to eat 10 more things. But I know biologically this will actually settle me for now, for the short term. Then I go into whether I do the Now Plus Nurture meditation, whether I find something else to help calm my mind, to do a body scan, to bring down the adrenaline and the freak out and the survival. That's what you need, because you're kind of thinking that you need the food for the blood sugar, but you're also needing the food to kind of bring down all of that mental and emotional energy. So it's like, how do we bring in, okay, we've got this minimum effective dose to deal with the hypoglycemia. This is a very real thing. And then let's bring in the other need, which is to calm you. No amount of food is going to calm your overall system, which is why you feel like you can't get enough. You have to just keep eating it, because you're asking food to do what it's not meant to do. Food is not meant to calm our nervous systems. Now it can work, which is why we go back to it, but it's not what it's meant for. So there are other things you can do. You can go into the Trusting Your Body program, learn kind of about your nervous system, and you can see how, when I go into one of my hypoglycemic responses, my nervous system is in fight or flight. That makes sense. It makes sense that I would think that. But so we need to kind of address it from both the physical part and then the emotional, mental kind of nervous system part.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. You got it. All right. Thanks, Tammy. All right. We'll send you back. Okay, everybody. That is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me. I am available in the Binge Support Facebook subgroup if you have any questions on binging. Otherwise, I will see you guys for the call next month. Bye.